5,000 men fed with only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Chapter 38. One day the 12 disciples returned to the Lord Jesus. Why? And were they away? Yes. In one of our former chapters, we told you Jesus had chosen a total of 12 disciples. He had sent them by twos to preach to the Jewish people and that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. When he sent them, he gave them certain commands, and they were not permitted to preach among the heathens, nor among the Samaritans, but they had to preach the gospel to the Jews only. They not only received ability to preach, but also power to perform miracles. And they were able to cure the sick, cleanse the lepers, and deliver those possessed by the devil. They did not do all this in their own name or in their own strength. No, they did it in the name of Jesus, the Savior. The disciples had gone two by two through the land of Galilee, preaching in all places. The sick who were brought to them were cured, no matter what disease they had. We do not know how long they were gone, possibly several weeks. Elated, they returned to Jesus. They have performed the work which was laid upon them. They have cured the sick, cleansed the lepers, and those possessed by the devil have been delivered from the hellish spirits. Oh, great miracles have been performed by them. Undoubtedly, the disciples have become somewhat proud of their successful labors. They tell the Lord Jesus all the deeds which they have done. The one has more to tell than the other. Their eyes sparkle with joy and gladness. At this same time, a second group of men come to Jesus, but they are not so glad or cheerful. On the contrary, this second group of men are exceedingly sorrowful. They are the disciples of John the Baptist, who have come to tell of their beloved master being beheaded by Herod while in prison. Jesus is deeply affected when he hears this. Of course, according to his Godhead, he already knew of John and the forerunner's death, but he also was man. Come, he says to his disciples, come with me to a solitary place and let us rest a while. At this time, a great multitude is with Jesus. They come and go, but Jesus and his disciples step into a ship and sail away. The numerous Jews remain behind and disappointedly watch the little ship. This time, they do not sail directly to the other side, because then they would have landed at the same place where Jesus, not too long ago, had cured the man of Gennesaret who was possessed of the devils. No, this time they sail in a slanting direction over the sea. They look for an uninhabited, solitary place with many hills. When Jesus and his disciples arrive at this quiet region and prepare to land, they notice this place is no longer uninhabited, but thousands of Jews are waiting for him. How did all these people get there so soon? Listen, they are the same disappointed Jews who had remained behind and watched Jesus sail from Capernaum. They had stared after the ship, and when they saw what course it took, and were sure in what direction Jesus sailed, they said to each other, do you know what we will do? We will walk there. Will you come along? Together they walked on the road which leads around the sea. On the way, this procession grows larger, and for the inhabitants of the cities and villages through which they pass join this group. They walk for hours, but do not feel tired because they were desirous of hearing Jesus preach again. Even though the region became more barren and the path more impassable, no one turned back when they were part way. Finally, they came to the approximate place where they expected Jesus to land. Because they had walked so rapidly, they, by walking over land, arrived at this place before Jesus, who was sailing over the water. When the Lord Jesus stepped ashore, the thousands of Jews were ready to meet him. They greet him with happy, cheerful faces. But this was not the purpose of the Lord Jesus. His desire was to be alone for a while, alone with his disciples, alone to rest a little, and to talk about the work of the disciples. Will he choose to go out to sea again? Will he flee from the multitude? No, he does not make that decision. His heart is filled with compassion when he sees this great multitude who have walked for hours seeking him. He has compassion with the multitude who are being deceived by the scribes and Pharisees. He doesn't send the people away, but he receives them kindly. He begins to speak to them about the kingdom of God. They also bring several sick people to him, and Jesus heals them all. The Lord Jesus preaches for hours, teaching the multitude. Amid great quietness, they listen to the words of the Savior and forget everything, even the time. Suddenly, the Lord Jesus is disturbed in his discourse. His disciples come to him and remind him that it is very late in the day. "Master," they say, "are you aware of the time? Thou shouldest let the people go because many, yes, nearly all, have no food with them, and they will be getting hungry. Besides, they cannot reach their homes before night, and for the day is far spent. Soon it will be dark, and they will be in this desolate, lonesome place. Thou must send them away, so they can buy food in the surrounding places and look for a lodging place where they can sleep tonight." The multitude did not realize how late it was, for they were listening attentively to the preaching of the Lord Jesus. Do you listen also attentively in church when the minister is preaching the word of God? Or are you bored and long for the end of the sermon? These people were not bored and did not look for the end. When the disciples say this, the Lord Jesus stops preaching, but he will not leave the multitude go away hungry. Must he send them away while they are tired and hungry? No, he has pity on them. It is not necessary for them to go away to buy food, Jesus says to his disciples. Give ye them to eat. They stare at their master in extreme astonishment. Can they give all those people something to eat? And here in this solitary wilderness? They cannot do that. From where must they get so much food? No, that is impossible. Philip answers his master and says, "Lord, even if we bought 200 pennies worth of bread, it still would be far short of what is necessary for this multitude. Even then, each of them would be able only to take a small crumb of bread." In those days, the ordinary wage of a workman was 1 penny a day. You can easily understand that in those days, 200 pennies was a large sum of money. Philip purposely mentions a very large sum, so that the impossibility of Jesus' proposal can be clearly seen. Must they give the people food? They cannot do that. It is impossible. Still, Jesus purposely had so commanded. Didn't the disciples return home elated because they had performed so many miracles? Let them perform a miracle here too. Jesus tries them. They must learn. They can do nothing in and of themselves. If Jesus did not grant them the strength and the faith, and they would stand powerless. They may never exalt themselves because of those things. Their ability to cure the sick was a gift of God. Give ye them to eat. It seems so foolish, so impossible. But Jesus means it. Listen to what he asks. How many loaves have ye? Go and see. He means, investigate and find out whether anyone here present has any food with him. The disciples have nothing, but they obey his command, and they will ask whether anyone in this great multitude has any food with them. Andrew soon comes back, saying there is a lad who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But, he adds, we have nothing on that. It is far too little. And what is that amount of food among so many? In this, Andrew was correct. It would be far too little, for these loaves really were flat cakes. One person easily could eat one of these loaves. However, to his great astonishment, Jesus says, bring them here. Then the Lord Jesus commands everyone to sit down. The disciples bring this word to the multitude. The thousands of people sit down in long rows upon the grass, but they do not know why. They sit together in groups of 50. When quietness again is restored, Jesus stands up. It becomes even more quiet. He spreads his hands toward heaven and asks for a blessing upon the food of which all will partake. The Lord Jesus prays out loud. It is proper to pray before meals. Today, thousands of people do not pray before they eat. They begin to eat just like the animals. How unthankful! For who gives them the food? O children, never be ashamed to ask for a blessing before you eat, even if you are sitting among mockers. After Jesus says Amen, he takes one of the loaves and breaks it into pieces. But, look, he continues to break the bread, and there is no end to it. Undoubtedly, the disciples carry the pieces of bread in baskets. They walk between the rows and pass out this delicious food. Everyone receives as much as he desires to have, and the people really were very hungry because it was far beyond the regular mealtime. Now all can eat until they are filled. There is enough bread and fish, for Jesus also divides the 2 fishes. This is such a delicious meal. Finally, and they all are satisfied. They even have a surplus. Oh, what a wonder! There were 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And all of them ate of these 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. You readily can understand the multitude became deeply impressed by this great wonder. It is true. While Elijah was in Zarephath, the oil and meal did not diminish. But there only 3 people were fed, While here there were more than 5,000 fed, and all these people see this great wonder. The Lord Jesus always performed miracles for the sick, infirm, and distressed. But here he performed a miracle for those in good health. Finally, the meal is finished. Everyone has eaten sufficiently, and everywhere there is bread over. And then the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain." No, this nourishing food must not remain lying on the ground to be trampled upon when they all depart, but it must be carefully gathered up. Alas, many in our country think differently. The wholesome food which is left over is often thrown into the garbage can. Isn't that horrible? Yes, it is ungodly. Did God cause the wheat to grow to be thrown away? Did he give rain and sunshine for that purpose? All this wasteful destroying of food is abominable, and it is done so often. Children, never throw food away. If any is left, gather it, and if necessary, at least give it to the animals. But never waste it, for God surely shall punish that. During the Second World War, many people in different countries suffered from lack of food, especially in the cities. Many people perished from hunger and misery. At that time, they wished they had that shamefully wasted food. Let this be a lesson for all of us. Jesus says, "Gather it." Immediately, the disciples again go among the multitude and carefully gather all the pieces of bread that are left and put them into baskets. At last, they come to Jesus with 12 baskets filled with food. So there is more left than when they began. The thousands of Jews stare at the Lord Jesus in great astonishment. Respect shines in their eyes. They think, yes, this prophet of Nazareth is the Messiah. Jesus is the king who was promised long ago. They would like to have such a king. He would be sure no famine ever occurred. What would happen if the crops failed? Ah, that wouldn't be so terrible. Jesus could make one sack of wheat into 1,000, and if necessary, 10,000. They have just seen that miracle. They all have witnessed it. Do you know what they will do? They will publicly proclaim him their king. They will arm themselves and march to Jerusalem behind Jesus their king. And they will join battle against the powerful Roman armies. And if they should lose the battle, what then? Lose? Impossible. Jesus will be their leader. Jesus will help them. Jesus will be their king. Ah, triumphantly they will drive out the Roman legions, and once again they will be free. Oh, their eyes sparkle with joy at this pleasant thought. The old kingdom of David again will be restored to honor. Excitedly they talk to each other about these things. Yes, yes, they will proclaim him their king. And if Jesus will not be their earthly king, if he should refuse, what? Refuse? Not want to. He must, whether he wants to or not. If need be, they will take him by force and proclaim him king. Away with and death to the Romans. The multitude begins to get unruly and boisterous. However, Jesus knows what is going on in their thoughts. He knows they desire to make him king. Isn't he happy? Doesn't he think this would be a great honor? Ah, there is sorrow in his heart.
Sorrow? Why?
He is sad because the people desire an earthly kingdom with a king who would deliver them from the Romans, but they do not desire a savior. They do not desire a king who would deliver them from sin and the power of the devil. And wasn't that the purpose of his life? For this reason, he left heaven and came to this sin-cursed earth. Jesus decides these people must be stopped. Suddenly, the buzz of the many voices is hushed. It becomes quiet. Jesus prays a prayer of thanks and tells the people to go. They do not desire to go away because they first desire to crown him their king. However, that cannot happen. When Jesus says they must depart, they go away. But they do so against their will. A certain feeling, which cannot be explained, comes over these people, and they dare not disobey. The numerous multitude slowly disperse. After the multitude had departed from Jesus, he climbs a mountain. He is alone. He kneels and prays. Where are his disciples? I will tell you about them in the following chapter.